Welcome to the Maria Heller Show, the internet's original podcast. Since the year 2000, always ahead of the curve, always on your side. A true warrior for truth and justice, Maria and her guests leave nothing out, and no one is off limits. There is only one truth, the rest is lies. Sit back, enjoy the education with a true daughter of Mother Earth. Sharp New York wit, spiritual knowing, and a very dry sense of humor, Maria will dissect the news and lies to make it all palatable. Education is power. Maria delivers rapid-fire truth like no one else can. Here she is, the mouth that roars, the legendary Maria Heller.
Good morning, world. Welcome to Blood and Guts with myself and my excellent friend and co-host, Jack Blood. And of course, today we'll be talking about everything like we usually do. But before we get started, I just want to let my listeners know that I finally connected with Dave McGowan yesterday. I was a little worried I wasn't able to get him for a while. And he sounds pretty good. They couldn't give him another treatment because of his white blood count. So he was a little disappointed in that because he truly wants to get it over with. And then we started, Jack, by the way, we started talking about Jimmy Carter's cancer, which is very similar to the one Dave got hit with. And he had some pretty interesting things to say. He said, you know, it runs in his family. And you know, with the being at the top of the food chain, that he's probably going to get, he's got to have been watched for years before that all of a sudden they seem to have found this cancer. And he said, knowing what the treatments are because he's going through it, he can't even imagine a 90-year-old going through it because he says it's total hell. So I just thought I'd bring my listeners up to date. Dave is alive. He's a little depressed over having to wait. But he sounds like Dave McGowan, so that's all I'm concerned about, is that he's still Dave McGowan and still alive, breathing, happy, and pretty much up for the most part. So, Jack, as you can see, the whole world's been going crazy. What do you think about the market crash and the explosions that seem to be happening in China, Japan, even at a chemical factory in Texas this week? I find it interesting that when these things happen, they never use the word terrorism or never even look for terrorism. And a lot of people are questioning whether this is deliberate because of China devaluing their money.
Well, let me get to that. And I did want to respond. First of all, it's great to hear that Dave is, I guess, acclimating to the treatment, if that's what's happening, and that he has the will to fight. We certainly need him around for a lot longer. I truly believe, Maria, that people like yourself and Dave McGowan can't be replaced. And people need to understand that, revere that, and support that as much as possible. So I'm a big believer in that. And I also don't really see that cancer is hereditary. I think that the inability to fight it, or the sensitivity to the toxins that likely are the cause for it, potentially are hereditary. So I don't believe that you inherit cancer. You inherit an inability to fight off all the toxins, which are the cause of the cancer. We're constantly treating the symptoms and never treating the cause. We don't even discuss the cause for the general diseases and the maladies that plague the earth. And that is definitely one of the problems. And you can apply that to any question, whether it's, immigration or whether it's the financial sectors. We always need to be looking for the cause of the problem and not treating the symptoms by building walls or using inflammatory rhetoric or making us all part of a bigger system in a police state by having national ID cards or whatever the solution seemed to be. They never get into the crux, in my humble opinion, of the cause. And cancer is one of those things that has, of course, recently plagued the earth due to the massive amount of radiation and toxins that we're surrounded by every day. Things that we don't even know the answers to yet, but certainly can look at something like wireless or radiation or an old-fashioned electric grid that could very well all be causes. But then again, that's not what people like the American Cancer Society or Institute or the Red Cross or any of these giant Illuminati donation ceremony applications ever get to. It's always trying to find a cure for the symptoms and never the cause. So I wanted to put that on the record. It's great to hear that Dave is doing well. You want to ask about the global financial mess?
Well, let's do both, but I wanted to comment on what you just said. First of all, you also are irreplaceable. You know, we've been here since the beginning, and that's what people have to realize. And we certainly aren't doing it for ego or to get rich, because that hasn't happened. But, you know, years ago, my teacher, Sun Bear, said something very interesting, and he ended up dying of esophageal cancer. He said, at the rate pollution is happening on this planet, he said, and he must have said this 25 years ago, he said, everybody's going to die of one form of cancer or the other. And, you know, I think back to Dr. Mary's Monkey, which I know you've read, you're aware of, you know, when they laced polio with cancer, knowing there'd be a cancer epidemic 20 years later. But, oh, we'll deal with that later. The other thing I wanted to say is years ago, I had Dr. John McDougall on my show. And at the time, you know, breast cancer is rampant in my family, Jack. And I had said to him that they told me I was high risk. And he said something very profound. He said, Maria, do you live your mother's lifestyle? And I said to him, no, I absolutely don't. You know, my mother didn't eat healthy. She didn't exercise. You know, she just, you know, was a regular person eating an Italian diet. He said, then why would you get her disease? And I think people have to start thinking. And then you also said about looking for the cause. And 2 months ago, Jack, I don't think I even got to tell you, I started having migraines again after 5 years of being migraine-free. And somebody had recommended this natural doctor who lives about five blocks from my house, who's a naturopathic physician, and he's a chiropractor too. And I went to him and he said, Maria, you know, instead of taking drugs or this and that, why don't you let me work on the cause? That was the first time I ever heard a doctor in my entire life say that to me, Jack.
Right. And that's a problem.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's a problem.
I was blown away. I said, what do you mean? He said, there's always a cause. He sent me for a shitload of x-rays, Jack. He does what he calls manipulative surgery to fix all the damage you've done to your body over the past 60 years. And within three treatments with him, Jack, the migraines were gone. And I see him now every week because he's worth it. He wants to fix what he can fix of the damage every human being does to their body at by a certain age. I'm in a state of awe over this doctor.
Well, yeah, and thankfully there are some good guys out there. I know Ty Bollinger is really one of the world's experts on cancer, and I would like to think that people are taking advantage of his expertise. But look, we know in the last 100 years, the changes in our environment, and I mean everything in our environment, are off the charts astronomical. And these are the things that men like Tesla tried to prevent, and without him, who knows what we'd be living, what kind of a world we'd be living in now, how much worse it would have been. And then the oil oligarchs, what one of my friends once called the synthetic solution, has replaced, and what it's created in the last 100 years, our food, our air, our water, our environment, our furniture, everything riddled with toxins and radiation. So that's when people talk about Fukushima, you know, I would always say, look, let's start looking at the home radiation, because to acknowledge that something like Fukushima could be dangerous to all of us is to not fully realize what is exactly right in front of us. What are we sitting on right now? What are we putting in our mouth? You know, cancer in, cancer out. So I guess that would be, you know, I hope a marching order, a rallying call for people to, whatever the issue is, look for the cause and not the symptoms. And again, this whole ridiculous presidential race that's happening right now, anything that comes out of the mouths of these liars is generally rhetoric, explosive rhetoric aimed at symptoms, which wouldn't solve the problem even if they were to apply them to the symptoms, which they won't.
Right.
We keep marching on, and meanwhile, I mean, there's got to be something to this. Henry Kissinger and David Rockefeller and to George Soros, and you just look at all these guys, they live to 100 and some years old, and Dick Cheney, and you know, these guys don't really seem to get that sick. So, and then of course we know cancer is a weapon, and somebody like Dave is certainly a target for that. But what you and Dave do, I just want to say, it's original content. You're not going to find it anywhere else. You guys aren't just repeating things. I pride myself in also doing original content. And so that's the kind of analysis people get. And again, I just don't think that we're that easily replaced. I know there's 10,000 new, tomorrow there'll be 10,000 new broadcasters on the internet. But these are all people who haven't been through and seen and done the work that we have done. And so you just can't, you know, you just can't eliminate, I always use this, so this is an interesting, it's a music metaphor if people want it. You just can't replace Iggy Pop with Iggy Azalea. It just doesn't work that way. Mm-hmm. You'll get what you pay for, and that's really my philosophy in life. You know, pay it forward. That's exactly how it works. It's the butterfly effect for the little things you do every day. But for your life force to be integrated into the world, you get what you pay for, and you have to pay it forward, which is my dream realized, is to have an application people can put on their cancer phones, their radiating cancer phones, to show them what's ethical and what isn't, where to put your money, what's moving the world forward. I know Tesla had said, going back to him for a second, he had said, you know, progress and technology are two different things. Progress moves the world forward in a positive momentum, and technology just serves the people that invent it. And so that's something that we should realize, that if it isn't making the world a better place, and it's not just our opinion, it will be moved, and we will see it manifest itself, then it's just technology. It's not progress. So progress isn't technology, as we've seen with these old-fashioned electric grids, old-fashioned infrastructure, old-fashioned politics, and the way we treat ourselves and each other.
Right, absolutely. Listen, I always say whenever they come out with a new technology, they soon find a way to use it as a weapon. Jack, because we started this off, I wasn't even thinking that I would share this on the air, but I will because it fits in with what we're talking about. Sometimes people write me real letters through the mail because they won't use the internet, okay, for many different reasons. And yesterday, after 9 years, it took me quite a while to remember who is this person that's writing to me, because she remembered me like it was yesterday. And she wrote me this letter. She's a Native American. She's very connected to a high spiritual Native American family. And this is just part of what she wrote, Jack. She said, "As for the chemtrails, the fluoride in the water, the GMO food, and the pharmaceuticals, I'm sure you figured out they've been preparing the environment for an alien race." She said, "We just could be the last generations of humans on planet Earth." I thought that was pretty interesting because I know a lot of people feel the same way. And, you know, I think even David, who will be on the show tomorrow, David Icke, had written about how these reptilians need radioactivity. That's their, that's the climate they need. And then I look this morning and I see there's a big tornado headed for Japan right near the nuclear power plant they just restarted, the one next to the erupting volcano. What do you think of this Native American's little statement that they're preparing the environment for an alien race? Because they've talked to aliens forever, okay? Everybody knows the story of what happens on the Hopi reservations and whatnot. What's your take on it?
I would leave that to, I guess, the experts like David Icke. I personally am more evidence-based in how I think. So I don't doubt it. I think it's interesting. It just amounts to interesting speculation.
Well, yeah, and you know, a lot of people, especially in the UFO disclosure movement, are saying that, you know, disclosure's coming. I've been hearing this for years. But I have talked directly to Native Americans, especially the ones that live on the reservations here, and they've seen the visitors, that's what they call them, pretty regularly, and to them it's just a matter of fact. So, just thought I'd throw that out there on a political show.
I think there's almost more evidence that the Earth has been wiped out and recreated several times, that there has been technology on Earth, that it is planted potentially even in our DNA, that there is, you know, sacred geometry that has been held, I think, by some of the we'll call them black nobility, some of the generations of bloodline. So when people are talking about that, I listen, and I think that makes a little more sense to me. Mm-hmm. than somebody, you know, finding a way with the technology to find us from, you know, eons away. That is the thing I have a hard time. I think that if there were alien life contacting us and all over the place, I think there'd certainly be a lot more hard evidence than speculative or opinion-based evidence. What would you call it? You would have first-hand evidence. You would have hard evidence rather than, you know, what just people see with their own eyes. You know, I guess it's the same thing with the whole chemtrail deal, except we do see the chemicals. We can visualize and see the hard evidence right above us. Again, don't look up. Whatever you do, don't look up, folks.
But
the lack of whistleblowers, the lack of hard evidence and all the rest of it certainly leaves us a little bit wanting sometimes.
Wanting for sure, but you know, you started to say how, you know, the human race has been wiped out multiple times and what the changes the planet goes through. But I have to tell you, Jack, I was on somebody's show and I mentioned the sixth mass extinction, and I got some pretty nasty comments after that I'm a doom and gloomer. So I'm like, hello, it's already happening. I mean, all you have to do is read the paper.
It's like the last Matrix Revolutions, and I always were hoping that they would do prequels to those, the Animatrix, which puts the machines in a much better light, almost giving them human rights and how they were treated. It's really, if no one's ever seen Animatrix, go check it out. It's in cartoon form, I guess animation form. It's why it's called Animatrix. And it's done by some of the leading artists in the world. And I believe it was the genesis or the impetus for the Matrix series, all of them pretty good. But the last one, you know, what happens when Neo finally wins? He goes and sees, you know, kind of the Wizard of Oz behind the curtain. And he goes, all right, you got farther than everybody else, but we're just going to start over again.
Right.
So, right. You know, I don't think in the macro to that extent, it's there's nothing I can do about it if it's true. I got to tell you, if I did believe that reptilians were controlling us, I would spend all my time on that. That's all I would do. That would be so important and so dire.
Right.
I wouldn't talk about anything else, frankly.
Well, I'll tell you, I look at the world leaders, and not a one of them has got any human qualities as far as I'm concerned. Doesn't matter to me where they came from. I just hope they go back real quick. Jack, this morning the big.
It's a great metaphor. It's a wonderful metaphor, if that's what it is. It's great. So.
Oh, okay. This morning, one of the big stories, I guess, is between, I guess, Ted Cruz and Donald Trump talking about anchor babies. And for some reason, before the show, as I was tidying up my house, I realized that my father was an anchor baby. Okay. My grandparents came here on vacation. My grandmother was pregnant. My father was born here. Before he was one, he was back in Italy. Did not come back to this country till he was 21. So I am the child of an anchor baby, and I wanted to put that out there and proud of it.
I'm a grandchild of an anchor baby, I guess, if you want to put it that way. So.
Mm-hmm. But now all of a sudden it's the same old tired stories and issues that never get resolved but get thrown up at every election.
Well, once again, you know, immigration, we talk about the symptoms and not the cause. The cause is that we have wrecked and raped, pillaged and looted Latin America. And the same thing is done in Europe to Africa and Central Asia and some of the poorer Eastern European states. So what do you expect? I mean, well, what is the immigration? I don't know if you saw what happened near Greece the other day, but what is the immigration amount to? Refugees who have nothing, no food, no water, no hope of even living past 30 years old, I don't know what the rest of us would do, but I know I would try to get the hell out of there.
Well, the same thing's happening with the refugees in Hungary. You know, they're trying to get out before the wall is completed. I mean, everybody's being boxed into their own little prisons, like the wall, you know, between the United States and Mexico.
My relatives come from Ireland, and we were completely raped and pillaged and ripped off by the English and probably everyone else down the way. The Vikings got us pretty good, by the way. And, we didn't have a choice. And we came here because there were opportunities. And I understand that that's the magnet. The magnet needs to be reversed so that the magnetic pull goes back to these Latin American countries. And there has been a lot of progress over, say, the last 10, 20 years in Central and South America, Maria. Unfortunately, those who don't do and don't capitulate to the global banks, the IMF, the other MFs, the world banks as we call them, and of course David Rockefeller's dream to lock in as one government the entire Western Hemisphere under the American Union, precursor to, you know, FTAA, Free Trade Area of the Americas, these people, if you look at Bolivia, Venezuela, recently Argentina, they're having major problems because they are trying to be self-autonomous in the same way I think China is trying, on a, you know, lower level to be autonomous and protect themselves, as Greece should have been able to do if they hadn't been locked in to the Eurozone. This is really the argument against globalization and centralization. And that's what people say. And one of the things that Trump has said that resonates with me, though I don't know how much he means it, is there should be tariffs on goods coming in, goods that aren't essential life and death goods coming into the United States. There should be tariffs on that, and that companies and corporations that think they're going to go move with no regulations, no rules, and using slave labor in other countries, getting benefits and no taxes and whatever else it's going to be, and some of that I agree with, some of that I don't, should have to pay coming back in. And apparently he's raised, I know John Rappaport wrote an article on this today, he does a pretty good job, and the New York Times was reporting that he wanted a tax, which amounts to tariffs on foreign goods coming into America, and I think every country should protect themselves, okay, in that regard, saying that he's made an enemy of the Trilateral Commission. He's made an enemy of David Rockefeller. He's making enemies, even suggesting that they're afraid that if this even gets out and even becomes part of the dinner table discussion or the water cooler discussion in this country, that it could be very dangerous and very hazardous to globalization.
Well, he made enemies of the Koch brothers, too. So he's really out there. But, you know, when you talk about tariffs, I'm sure you remember Bob Chapman. I mean, he was on my show for at least 12 years. He was screaming about tariffs years ago and putting a 1% tax on Wall Street for their sales and whatnot and their trades. He always had the right answers. But the bottom line is the people in charge like it just the way it is.
Well, that's because this so-called free trade, GATT, NAFTA, CAFTA, TPP, ugly cousins, that free trade is code for mega corporations and banks can roam the planet, set up shop anywhere they please, they can bankroll and build production facilities, produce cheap goods, sell them anywhere in the world without paying tariffs. And tariffs, of course, makes that whole operation useless. That's the same thing with corporations moving out of the United States to go get tax loopholes somewhere else, but getting all the benefits of being an American company, which has been a huge exodus, especially during the Obama administration. So all of these chickens are coming home to roost. And I think that the Donald has tapped into that a little bit. Of course, his solutions are, again, treating symptoms, most particularly in immigration and some of the other things he's talking about, not the cause. And to see people get riled up and to support that and say, well, here's a TV personality. Here's a guy that's authentic because he's standing next to these professional liars. It doesn't say much for us as a people, I have to say. We don't have any kind of discerning power, apparently, and it doesn't matter. In fact, there was some polls out. Well, Donald's done this, and he's done all this bad stuff, and he's flip-flopped, and he doesn't know what he's talking about. Dude, I don't care. He's just he's a straight talker. I like him.
Right. Well, it's kind of like George W. Remember how many people liked him? Because he's the kind of guy you want to sit down and have a beer with.
Right.
You know, I mean, it's become a reality show, a horrible reality show, so far what I've seen on this election. It's like a nightmare, a total freaking nightmare. And now they're kind of hinting that Joe Biden and Elizabeth Warren may be teaming up and entering the race.
Yeah, well, that won't do. Bumbling Joe Biden, as I call him, and the hypocrite Elizabeth Warren, I don't think they're going to be that attractive. It's still Hillary Clinton way out front. And, you know, I'm a second tier. If you look at Jeb Bush, right, I'm not sticking up for him. I'm just telling you how politics works. Being a front runner this early is really amounts to suicide. You need to go slow and steady in the race. So if Donald Trump has, you know, whatever, 40%, I guess, for the Republicans that are polled, the polls are just, you know, ridiculous on face, then there's another 60% that don't want him. And when the field widows down and all the money starts getting spent, which will be prior to the actual alleged voting in the Republican primaries, then we'll see things even out a little bit more. I mean, the flavor of the day is all great, and it makes for great news copy. And let's face it, you cannot turn on your TV. I couldn't believe the Sunday news shows the last month. Every show, every topic has something to do with Donald Trump, which he loves. I mean, he is in heaven right now. He loves it. So if you give any candidate that much positive attention or even negative attention, they're going to do well just on the basis of name recognition. So I wouldn't put too much stock in any of that. Unfortunately, everything seems to be right on course, at least politically, and that's the bad news.
Right. Well, what do you think about Bernie Sanders? You think he has any chance of getting the nomination?
No, none whatsoever.
And that's kind of pathetic.
Again, the establishment control the voting, right? They control the primary process. They control the delegates. They control the nominating process. There's almost no exceptions to that. If you look back, Ronald Reagan, people say, well, what a surprise it was that he went up against the establishment and they finally had to capitulate to him. Well, he was the Bohemian Grove governor of California. He had long had the praise of the establishment, and he had won them over, and it was tricky. Of course, they put George Bush Sr. in to watch him and then try to kill him and take control of his presidency. So,
right.
So I think that the faith they had in him is kind of like a human sacrifice or something, like they might do at Bohemian Grove. It's just a total con game, and I think that if we're talking about what's going on financially right now, again, it's a massive confidence game, a Ponzi scheme. Yesterday, or this last week, actually, what we've seen happen on Wall Street in the stock markets, the Dow, NASDAQ, et cetera, suffering its first signs of a major correction, which, by the way, if you remember, I've been predicting for September for maybe the last 2 years of September of 2015.
Absolutely.
You know, only a minor, that's the minor spark that's going to light the entire forest on fire, okay? They're still able to use the plunge protection team, the Federal Reserve, and funny money to shore up until they're completely ready. They want to make sure to have all of your money before they deflate the bubble and steal it all. So they have a little bit farther to go here, but the confidence game is still working in that regard. And I'm sure yesterday there were stockbrokers on the phone with panicked, unsophisticated investors saying, not only don't get out, double down. And that's why we're seeing a little bounce back today. But this can't hold. As I've been telling people, it is the most unsustainable bubble we've ever seen. It is the largest bond bubble we've ever seen. The most printing of money at one time we've ever seen. The piper will come calling.
Right. So what do you think? Do you have any feelings about China deliberately devaluing their money? Did they get too happy too fast with American jobs now that Americans have no money to buy the crap they sell us? Or do you think it's just they followed our example and are going down the tubes?
Yeah. You have to realize that one of the top advisors for China is a guy named Maurice Strong, the Canadian billionaire who we can blame for all things bad with Agenda 21 and all the phony solutions to the Ten Commandments of depopulation and climate change. He was allegedly discovered by David Rockefeller when he was 16 years old and then made a protege, and has also tried to do things like start up the Internet 2.0. This guy's pretty diabolical, and he has for years been advising China. He's an honorary professor at Beijing University. I believe he's in their ear and telling them stuff, and I believe they're following orders, quite frankly, to some extent. But China is only doing what we do. They're protecting themselves. Not only have they devalued their currency, Maria, but they've also upped their fractional reserve lending, that is, the amount of reserves you have to have in a bank in order to lend money. So, again, they're following right along with what the other central banks are doing, the Chinese central banks. So they're not doing anything different. They will be expected to protect themselves in any kind of – and, by the way, we have been on full-scale global economic warfare, at least in the micro, not the macro. The macro is, you know, the casino always wins, but at the poker table, right? The players at the poker table – have, and this includes Russia as well, have been on full-scale, all-out resource war. And what ended up happening was is they went too far too fast, and this is going to be a correction, and they're just defending themselves. I can't even blame them for doing it. How much effect that would have on the dollar or on the American economy shouldn't be too much. I really think that's just an excuse, because they've got to blame somebody for the whole hogging, just the pig out, that's been going on here, I guess, well, I don't know, for the last 20, since the Clinton administration, for sure. Some would take it back to the Reagan administration. Just a massive pig out at the trough. They're going to have to blame somebody, or they're going to have to take the blame. Right. That is the central bankers in Europe and on Wall Street, the investment houses on Wall Street. We remember what happened last time in 2007. We saw a bunch of, like, Lehman Brothers, Bear Stearns. We saw major investment houses go down and get absorbed, right? Because Volcker was running the show and decided who lived or died. He's a total Rockefeller man, no secret there, and that he went and gave all their assets at a fire sale price and took them over, pennies on the dollar. The stockholders got just burned big time, and that all went to who? To Goldman Sachs, to J.P. Morgan, and Chase Manhattan. Those guys got it all. Okay, Bank of America. They got it all, and they've been getting free money at the discount window ever since at the rate of more than $40 billion a month, Maria. At some point, that correction has to come due. The check is coming, right, for the dinner, the feast you've been having. And to blame China for it is just an excuse.
Well, you know, you just reminded me, Jack. I'm sure you remember when you were producing my show on KFNX, I remember when I reported quite a few times while Clinton was president that Clinton's back in China, and those visits were always secretive. And I would constantly say, what is he selling away now? What's he doing in China? No one else was talking about it.
All the corporations would have to do would be to pull out of China and go somewhere else. There's plenty of places that could take their place, and China knows that. So they have to – listen, we could put tariffs on their goods. All the Apples and the Microsofts and whoever else, they could all pull out of there. So they are really almost held at extortion and blackmail like the rest of us. Mm-hmm. And they're playing their part, right? We needed that – look, the whole idea, if you remember, and I've talked about this as far as all the wars and everything else goes, and this, again, this is my educated opinion – is that we're tearing the world into two parts. Those two parts will fight each other. People will be sick of that. It will hurt a lot of people, and they'll say, let's just have one part now. So that's how close we are now to total global government for real and not just economically, which we've been having. It is to divide into a positive, negative, and fuse those in, right, thesis and antithesis, and fuse that into synthesis. It is, of course, the Hegelian dialectic. So that's where we are in this point in history, and something horrible is going to happen probably in our lifetime to make that fuse permanent.
I can see it too, Jack. Anyway, let's take a quick break. When we get back, I want to talk about what's been going on with you, your site, your show. I read that whole article about you getting attacked. Stay with us. Jack and I will be right back.
She's been called Paula Revere, the mother of the internet and even a legend. The mouth that roars, roars all truth without any input from corporate, religious, or political affiliations. Rhea's in it just like you are. Often imitated but never duplicated. Commercial-free talk providing a real education in a world filled with lies, cover-ups, and propaganda. Subscribe now and encourage your friends to do the same. Feel good about supporting real media that supports you and all life on this planet. Pick a subscription of your choice and get started on the journey down the rabbit hole. If you are financially challenged or a senior on a limited income, please send an email to maria@maria.net and she will work something out for you. There's never been a more dangerous or exciting time to be alive. Education is a necessity now. Stay informed. Subscribe today at www.meria.net.
Okay, welcome back to Blood and Guts with my co-host Jack Blood. Get over to deadlinelive.info, check out his work. He's got archives on his site now. Needs your donations, okay? I don't know how much more we can strong arm people. Jack, I was reading about how you got hacked. I want to talk about that. I want to talk about the money raise you're trying to do to get a new media form out there and also to, you know, buy groceries for your family. So let's start out with that Radio Free Blood getting attacked by what you called the cyber caliphate or CENTCOM or Israel. That was pretty intense, that whole article, Jack.
Well, thanks. I actually haven't written an article in a very long time. And I always wonder, I don't have a massive audience anymore. Why would people even bother with me? It amazes me sometimes, but it's obviously because what I say can be very dangerous to the powers that be. And that's just how it goes. But yeah, we had a Friday before last. In fact, it happened again the week after this. So I've actually, ever since, I've been getting hit constantly and sometimes all at once. I've got a bunch of Turkish people all of a sudden in my chat room. It's just weird. It's getting a little weird over there, and I don't want to scare people, and some people find it entertaining and interesting. I'm trying to ignore it now. But there's a long history, of course, of these paid gang-stalking cyber vandalizers, cyber terrorists. They came in and threatened my life, threatened the people in there. One of the things they said is they wanted my Skype, or I'd be dead. I have 10 minutes to give them my Skype, or I'd be dead. So I put it all together, and it's funny because you know when this happened is I played a clip. I was announcing to play the clip, and it just came just right there, which would have been an anti-Bernie Sanders clip. It's Bernie Sanders basically threatening to have people arrested because they won't be as devoted to Zionism as he is, and he was talking about how evil the Palestinians are and how we have to support Israel, and the crowd was turning on him. They're like, no, this isn't true. This is propaganda, and, you know, and he got really upset. This is a guy that if you challenge him, he is so, privileged or something. So I guess he has such a big ego. I'm not sure what it is. If you challenge him a little bit, he'll get really mad, and that shows, you know, that he has these controlled belief systems that he can't really defend. So I was about to play that, and that's when it came. People coming faster than I can delete them. And it was suspicious because it takes a little while to sign in. You have to, you know, use an original email. It takes a little while to sign in and get on my chat. And I would delete them all, and then all of a sudden, a second or two later, there'd be a whole bunch more. Right. And they were coming in a way that looked like they were getting through the back door somehow. So I began thinking that it was some type of an organized hack, which has happened to me many times. And if you look at my article, you'll see kind of the history of this. And to hopefully explain to people, I'm not just one of these paranoid conspiracy people. I've caught Halliburton. I've caught China. I've caught people. We've caught organized groups of people attacking us. Sometimes it took us weeks to shake them off. We've been threatened with violence. All kinds of things have happened to me over the years. So I have a little bit of a background there. But there is a radicalized, militant, Judaic gang stalkers. They're called the KKK, the New Millennium. You can go look up Common Dreams, I know, was hit by these trolls spewing anti-Semitism. Israel hires internet soldiers to penetrate American forums and chat rooms. This is all pretty major media, and I think that's what happened to us, and it's continuing to happen to us.
Well, I guess it just matters on what you're saying. You know, it kind of reminds me of those, I think it was, ended up being nine natural doctors that were all coming out with that, I forget the name of it, Mac something for cancer. And they were all found dead, like within a two-week time. So truth-telling is very dangerous business. That's what I tell people that want to emulate what I do, because I've had my life threatened many times. CIA tracked my show, especially right after 9/11. And this is why I don't do a live show, don't have a live chat, don't have call-ins, don't have instant message. It's kind of like I kind of sneak my show in. Once it's done, I can put it up safely. But when you tell this to people, and I always say, if the people you're listening to the news from are rich, if they're millionaires, that's your first clue. They're not giving you the truth, because there's no money in this. I mean, no matter how much we beg and plead for people to support us, none of us are getting rich on this. And I know you have some sort of new broadcast you want to put together. How's that going? Jack?
Well, listen, I don't think that it's a problem being successful. It's just how you go about it. And when I had the opportunities to be very, very successful doing almost exactly what I'm doing now, I turned them down because it was dirty money and there were strings attached to it, and I couldn't take it. I couldn't do that, because I do, have pretty high moral standards. I do believe what I'm doing, and I'm not going to compromise myself and end up like some of the other people. I have to, at the end of the night, respect myself. I can't lie to myself like so many people do in this world about what they're doing, killing children, saves lives, this kind of thing that the elites always constantly lying to themselves for trading paper, and creating wealth is good and creates jobs. And, they lie to themselves every day. And I'm not going to ever be one of those people, not because I don't want to, because I can't. It's just not in my DNA. I just can't do it. So I've turned down multiple major opportunities over the years, not to mention the fact that I was running a multi-million-dollar radio company at one point, making a lot of money. So for me, it hasn't been about money, but it's certainly about survival, and it's about growth. So I believe value for value. If I'm offering something of value, then people will pay it forward and they'll support us. Right now, I need about 100 to 200 people to throw in 20, 30 bucks each, some of them maybe a little bit more. Your listening audience has always been really great, has gone out on the limb for me, maybe even, sacrificed the weekend movie or something to support and to help me. And right now we are at a major turning point, Maria. We're either going to go away. The 5-day-a-week show would definitely be over. The live show would definitely be over. The interaction, live interaction with listeners, to be able to immediately, on a drop of a dime, take a breaking news story and tear it apart, all of that could be gone if we don't have that support. And on the other end of it, if people read my Seattle or Die at deadlinelive.info, they'll see the plans we have. I've got a few partners. All of them amazing. We're creating something called Information Factory. This will be undisputable memes and mini documentaries of maybe 5 minutes or so, which we're literally going to offer people money if they can debunk, because the facts will be so indisputable. You can literally take that to the bank. We have a Project 1000, which is a consensus gathering global organization. Only 1,000 people in any given city can change everything. 1,000 people in this country could change everything if they worked in collaboration with each other. We have all kinds of new interesting projects, like creating a new resource center, a 21st century library, not the old kind. So we are in no shortage of ideas. We are in no shortage of intellectual resources. We are in no shortage of original content and artistic capabilities. What we are in a shortage of is just enough money to get this thing kick-started, just to get it going and to move to the next level. But I'm afraid that if we don't get 100 to 200 people at $20 to $30 each right now, I mean this week, not next month, this today, now, there won't even be anything. All of it will go away. So we're in the very middle of not only keeping what we're doing going, but expanding it and making it much cooler, or it all going away. And it's just going to take a few dollars to make it happen.
Well, how do people send those few dollars? Where is it? How's it set up for them to donate?
Listen, if people could write down my email address is jackblood@hotmail, right? That's easy. You could just remember that. It's so easy. If you don't know it, if you just put me in any search engine, I'll come up first and you'll find me and you'll know that. jackblood@hotmail.com. Write me over there. Or if you're already in a PayPal or an ePay or eCheck system, that's the email you would send the donation to. By the way, everybody that's sending us a donation goes on our free mailing list, and they'll get all kinds of stuff going forward, from updates, newsletters, original show, some information I don't even put out on the web because it's so sensitive, and they'll kind of be in our so-called blood club. And so it's like subscribing to us. Once you're on the list, which is all honor-based, honor system-based, you'll begin getting whatever benefits we can offer. So jackblood@hotmail.com, very simple. Make your donation right there. If you can't do it electronically, let us know, and we'll find another way for you to do it. But I really just want to encourage your listeners, who've always been so great, and we've done such great work together, Maria, that just a little bit, 20, 25, 30 bucks, and maybe more if you can afford it, because you know, right, Maria, some people aren't going to do it. So you got to cover them.
Exactly.
So just, you know, a little bit from 100 to 200 people, that's my people, your people. Tomorrow I'm going on the Power Hour with Joyce Riley. It will be her people. I'm going on with our friend Jay on Friday. It will be his people. So all these people together, can you be that person that helps us get there? 100 to 200 people right now, 20 to 30 bucks on an average, and we're good.
Well, there you have it. That's the way to do it, because otherwise things are going to go away. And you're not asking for $1 million. You're asking for, what, $2,000? And it's so difficult. Right.
Yeah.
But I look at, you know, I get pitched every month from some of the news sites that I follow. And they need, you know, they're asking for $20,000 every month. And they manage to raise it. Okay. I look at that and say, man, if I had $20,000 coming in every month, I'd have my own friggin' TV station. You know what I mean?
Know.
So, you know, people have to prioritize.
We are able to take, you know, crappy computers and make them go all the way. We can find the technology. We can make the most out of what we have. So we don't need to buy it. And one of my partners is coming with digital cameras and digital editing and everything else. So we don't need to buy. We have all the stuff. We have the people. My partner, Greg Knight, is an investigative reporter who's worked for several newspapers. He's working for one right now. I mean, this is a guy who knows how to get to people and get the facts out and do the research. I've got covert people in all kinds of little organizations that feed us information. And I want to keep, you know, letting that come out. But what's going to happen is, if we can't do this now, this week, now, Maria, and we go away, what choice am I going to have than to go to some radio station and go work there doing commercial radio to support my family and have to walk away from all of this? So this is the litmus test. Am I valuable to freedom? Am I valuable to truth? Am I valuable to people? I want to know, to show me now by really helping us. We do this maybe once a year, and that's all we ask.
Absolutely. Well, you know my view on that. You're more than valuable and well-deserving, but I also told you, you know, just like a good friend would, eventually you got to think about what's best for your family, because obviously everybody else is thinking that way. So, you know, I know you'll make the right decision either way. Of course, this project sounds great, so, you know, I want it to fly for you too. Jack, we have a few...
Let me just say this. What's best for my family is the same thing that's going to be best for your family, that we get and correct the path that we're on to a path of consensus and truth and freedom and beauty and love. That's what's going to happen. And we need people who are, hey, I'm willing to put my shoulder against the machine and get my arm chewed off. I'm willing to take a bullet. Okay? I'm not just out here talking for my health. I'm willing to put myself in danger if that's what it's going to take. I'm willing to do whatever and make whatever sacrifice necessary. We're not asking to live and buy a house. We're not asking to buy a car. We're not asking to buy toys or motorcycles or eat in restaurants. All we're asking to do is people to help us do is to keep things going. So what's best for me, my family, certainly, and yours, certainly, is that we continue on and expand and keep taking chunks out of Global Corp. I think that's the best thing for all of us.
Absolutely. Absolutely. No argument from me there. Before we run out of time, I wanted to just briefly ask you what you thought about the latest flare-up with North and South Korea.
Yeah, I think it's much to do about nothing. North Korea saber rattles every time they don't get attention. They're like a petulant child. And every time they saber rattle, they get paid. So it's kind of a Pavlovian dog thing. Okay? There is no way. I really find it far-fetched that they would ever attack South Korea, which is protected both by the United States and some say China. But we have like half our military over there. They would be dead in seconds. It would be suicide. It's the same thing. Would Iran, if they had a nuke and a bottle rocket, would they shoot it off? No, because it's suicide. And I know that everybody thinks that Kim Jong-un is crazy, actually doesn't even run the country. That's another myth. So I kind of think it's saber-rattling propaganda. All of this destabilization, half of it is just complete, utter bullshit. The half you don't hear about is what you should be concerned about, and that's, again, what we talk about on our show.
Right. Now, I see you have a thing going, nobody for president. I think that's actually quite catchy, nobody for president.
You know why, right? Because nobody will keep election promises. Nobody will listen to your concerns. Nobody will help the poor and unemployed. Nobody cares. And that's us. Nobody. And I'm running. We're not running yet because it's 2015. It's stupid. The election is in 2016. So myself and a veteran Black Panther, amazing activist, a guy who's put his life on the line consistently, former political prisoner, and just a hell of a guy, one of my best friends, Larry Pinkney, he and I are considering and exploring a run, a co-run for president, and nobody for president is kind of our tagline. So people can also find that the information on that at deadlinelive.info. If we decide to do it, we'll be setting up a kind of a Stephen Colbert super PAC. We'll be going and doing stump speeches all over America and not, firing out toilet rhetoric, but actually talking about the very things that fix our problems. And if you look at some of our proposals just in our first press release, and people are going to get a lot more of these press releases, by the way, even before we officially run, they're going to see something a lot different than what they're hearing from any other candidate. So, is it legitimate? Is it satire? I'll let people decide that, but definitely I think it will have an effect.
Well, there you go. And to end this on a good news story, to show that we don't need the nanny state, we don't need religion or politicians to tell us the right thing to do, I got this story right before the show, Jack, and we only have 2 minutes. I'm going to give it to you quickly. Washington State, which is on fire, put out a call for volunteers. First day, 3,000 Americans showed up to volunteer, and a lot of them had their own equipment. So people always know the right thing to do. They don't have to be told.
Well, and if the nanny state puts the illusion forward that only they can protect you and only they can put out forest fires, right, or prevent them,
right.
Generally are the ones. I mean, they're the ones lighting them, because I'm going to tell you, if you look this up, about 80% of all wildfires are started by a person. And people should look that up, because I think it changes the debate significantly. But if people aren't constantly nursed by the nanny state, and they do have to enforce to help each other and take care of themselves, this is the 10-year anniversary of Katrina this week. It's the 23rd anniversary of Ruby Ridge, where people went up there and protect and save what was left of Randy Weaver's family. so people will take action as long as they're not convinced or conned somehow that it's somebody else's job and the government will do it. So we know how that works out. And that is, by the way, a great way to end. An amazing, immaculate, positive story. We will help each other.
Absolutely. Well, thank you, Jack, and we'll talk again soon.
Next month, hopefully. Love you, Maria. Stay bold, everybody. We'll see you soon. RadioFreeBlood.com, DeadlineLive.info.
Thanks, Jack. Bye. Jack Blood, check out his work. Support his work, okay? We all have the same bills and problems you have, but he's not exactly living the high life. He's still trying to get more information out there as much as he can. So anyway, thanks for listening to today's show. Tomorrow, David Icke. So I guess we'll have a whole different view on a lot of things. And Thursday, I'll be back with the news. Thanks again for supporting the show.
Thank you for listening and supporting The Maria Show. Tell others what you learned today. Knowledge becomes wisdom only when it's shared. Encourage others to subscribe today. www.maria.net. Often imitated, never duplicated. A world of information all in one place. www.maria.net. Always ahead of the curve. Always on your side. Get active or get radioactive. Subscribe today.